You're tuned to Current State on 90.5 WKAR. You can reach us via email at currentstate@wkar.org. Always eager to hear what's on your mind regarding our program. After years of delays, Detroit's Hance Farm is starting to take shape. In 2009, John Hance, CEO of Southfield-based Hance Group, LLC, proposed building the world's largest urban farm in Detroit. After cutting through red tape and shifting plans to focus on building an urban tree farm, the project is starting to unfold. Here to tell us more about the project's next steps, Mike Score, president of Hance Woodlands. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, and I'm glad to have you on our program here. I've been aware of this effort for I think just about from the very beginning, and it is so interesting. It's been five long years since this project was proposed. Briefly, just tell us where it stands today.
Our development agreement with the city was approved in December of 2012, and then following that vote by city council, we went through a due diligence process to fully understand the land that we were purchasing. That process was completed in early 2013, and we signed our development agreement in mid-2013. Then that agreement had to be approved by the state and by the emergency manager's office, and that took us into November of 2013. At that point, we worked with the city to prepare deeds for the property, and in January 2014, we were able to exchange a check for 1,350 parcels, and we now own and manage just over 150 acres in the city of Detroit.
Explain the spaces for our listeners. This is as I understand it, this is not one large space. This is actually a number of spaces.
Yeah, the easiest way to understand the lay of the land is to look at a map, and our properties are located between Van Dyke, St. Jean, Jefferson, and Mack. So it's just over a square mile, and it borders Indian Village and West Village on the city's Lower East Side. So we purchased the vacant and neglected city-owned property within that roughly one square mile. And it's property that surrounds remnant neighborhoods that are still viable. And our investment will make those communities a better place to live.
But is the 150-plus acres, is it contiguous? Is it all one plot of land?
No, it's not. It's bits and pieces of landscape within the square mile. So there'll be, going down the street, there'll be a few houses and then some vacant land and more houses and more vacant land. It's a checkerboard pattern. We own about one-third, one-fourth of the landscape, and the rest is privately owned, and it's a mix of either single homes in the middle of an empty area or combinations of homes that still make up neighborhoods.
Tell us about the bigger challenges trying to put together such a large farm into this space.
I hope most of the biggest challenges are behind us. But when we first started out, John's proposal was really bold and innovative to go to city leaders and suggest that farm could be used as a tool for reshaping a city's landscape. And actually, the investment could be made in a way that prepares Detroit to be a future city as opposed to a city in decline. Using a farm as a tool to make neighborhoods more livable was really a progressive vision that John had. But the city was going through a lot of transitions at the time. Its population was declining. Its budget was in difficulty. And then there were some political turmoil as well. So asking the city to consider something as innovative as a farm within the urban landscape, it was a big challenge to get to present the idea in a way that the city could really understand and to get city leaders to turn from those more pressing issues to consider our proposal.
Mm-hmm. What's communication been like with those who live near this project?
We have very strong support from people who live within the area where we're making our investment. Initially, when we agreed with the city that we would focus our investment on the Lower East Side of the city. We went door to door and met with neighbors, and they liked the idea of our investment making the neighborhoods a better place to live. We had to change our plans so that our investment fit well with the needs and interests of the community residents. But since we began going door to door, and now that we've begun cleaning up vacant lots, picking up garbage, removing brush, our neighbors affirm our work every day that we're out working. And they stop, they tell us that they appreciate our investment, and we try to do our work in a way that fits well with the neighbors.
Initially, your plan was to grow produce on the farm. Now we're just talking about a tree farm. Why did you have to let that go?
Well, when we didn't have a specific location in mind, but it was just a concept, we pictured a U-pick orchard, a U-cut Christmas tree farm, and other types of agriculture that create more jobs, that create a platform for tourism and education. And those are great ideas if you're just thinking about business concepts. But when we went door-to-door and met with the neighbors, they had two major concerns. One was the idea of producing food in their neighborhood. They worried that produce that fell on the ground would aggravate problems with rodents. And so they asked us not to produce food. They also asked us to stay away from crops that require the use of pesticides. And whether it be organic or conventional, if you're producing high-value products like apples and Christmas trees, when you have pests that threaten the quality of the production, you do have to control the pests if you want to make money. So they asked us to stay away from food crops, from pesticides, and that led us toward hardwood, which is an exciting and viable opportunity for Michigan agriculture.
We're talking with Mike Score, president of Hance Woodlands, what will become a large urban tree farm in the city of Detroit. How will you generate profit, Mike? I mean, how you just wrote a check for $410,000. How are you going to recoup your investment?
Well, we have a parent company. It's a financial service company, and it wasn't an intended outcome, but the criticism of our investment in Hance Farms or Hance Woodlands drew a lot of attention in the marketplace, and we were a cover story in Fortune magazine and a front page story in the Wall Street Journal. And one of the most common reasons for people walking through the door of Hance Financial Services to explore those services and to sign up as customers is that people heard about the farm. So we recovered a fair amount of the overhead costs just from the windfall of succeeding in launching this venture. So now going forward, we just have to recover our costs over time. And in Michigan, timber production and woodlot management is a viable type of agricultural business, and we should be able to get a 5 to 10% return on our investment over time. It just takes a lot of time and a lot of patience to get there.
But how are you generating profit? Are you selling these trees then, or harvesting the wood, or what?
Oh, there are a lot of opportunities. We can, for example, we could run a nursery business, and as we put trees in the ground, either early on when they're saplings or as they grow bigger, we can dig out some of the trees and sell them to landscapers and companies that handle ornamental plants. So that's one opportunity. We can also tap silver maples and sugar maples that will be on our property, and we could make maple syrup, which isn't particularly profitable, but maple syrup festivals can be. And if you put something like that in a large urban center like Detroit, I think there is some potential for revenue from tourism. And then over time, we will manage the trees as a timber stand, and in 40 to 60 years, we'll be able to harvest trees and recover our costs at that time.
Amazing to visualize that landscape. Mike, when you worked here at Michigan State, you focused on the tension between urban and rural communities and the role urban agriculture could play in bridging that divide. Are you confident this project will help build stronger relationships like those?
Yeah, I still see that as an important part of this investment. Detroit might sometimes best be described by the fractured relationships that seen over time, and part of the fracture is the division of urban and rural communities within our landscape. And when you take something as traditional as a farm, which is normally located out in a rural area, and you put it in a city, you now have new opportunities for urban and rural people within the state to understand each other and to exchange ideas.
Fascinating development here, and we plan to keep an eye on it here, and we wish you the best. Mike Skor, president of Hants Woodlands, a soon-to-be-growing urban forest in Detroit. Mike Skor, good luck and thank you.
Thank you.